I've heard many times people say, if only God would make it clear. Why is he so vague? Well, there are certain definitive statements in Scripture that brook no doubt whatsoever, and we're about to look at one of them. It's in Romans 3:28. This is Colin Cook, my friends, and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the grace of God, the good news about our Heavenly Father, what he has done in his Son, Jesus Christ, how he has secured our eternal life, not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. And then we train our faith. And this broadcast is all about faith training, my friend. It's not here to inspire you, but to train you so that you can trot off and learn and do your faith work instead of just listening to this broadcast to get some new fill-up. Do you see what I'm saying? All right. What's this definitive verse I'm talking about? Well, in chapter 3 and verse 27, Paul says, "Where is boasting then?" In other words, he's talking about the fact that God has taken his action for our salvation. He is the one who has taken the judgment upon himself and the great revolt against sin upon himself and judged himself instead of us. So he says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. In other words, we have nothing to boast about because God has done it. We have nothing to boast about, not because we fail to keep the law. That is, it's excluded. By what law of works? No, but boasting is excluded by the law of faith. The fact that we have to trust in Christ as our righteousness indicates that we have nothing to boast about regarding our own righteousness, because our own righteousness is filthy rags. Well, that's all by review, and here comes the definitive statement. Now listen. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now, what is a definitive statement? It defines, it makes clear a propositional truth. It states categorically what the reality is. That is a definitive statement. And here you have one, and here is God, through the Holy Spirit, making it absolutely clear for us. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now, that word conclude in the Greek is argue and contend. Therefore, we contend, one translation puts it, that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds, the works of the law. And in the New English Bible, it says, for our argument is that a man is justified by faith quite apart from success in keeping the law. Now, you see, you may be tempted, like all of us, to receive this definitive statement through your intellect. Therefore, you will simply accept this as an interesting and positive mental idea, and therefore you will let it define a doctrine of your belief. You'll say, oh, okay, I've got it. I understand now. Great, good. Pack the Bible away. Done. Finished. Stop right there, my friend. Because the truth of this statement, this definitive statement, is not to be received by the intellect, but by faith. And when you receive it by faith, you will not be packing the Bible away and deciding that you've found the truth finally and that's the end of it. You will recognize that faith, receiving this verse, is in constant battle with it. Constant contention with it, constant struggle with it. Why, you say? Well, look, first of all, let's get the meaning of the words. Therefore, we argue that a man is declared innocent by faith, obviously by faith in Jesus Christ, apart from everything and anything he has ever done or failed to do. Therefore we argue and conclude that a man is declared innocent by faith in Christ apart from all his human efforts, all of his performance, all of his obedience or lack thereof. Now, you try to believe that when the chips are down, when everything has gone wrong, when you have failed miserably, when you have been on a binge, when you have persistently walked away from God into your pleasures and into your oblivion of sin. And you will then find that this is the biggest, this definitive statement, challenge to your faith life. You see, what bothers me so much, my friend, is that people have seen Paul as an intellectual and therefore have approached the book of Romans intellectually. It appeals to their intellectual mind, they think. It makes them feel that the Bible is appealing to their intelligence and education. It makes them feel a little preened and a little more proper because they are grasping intellectual ideas in the scriptures. Well, forget it. Because this is not, even though it is intellectually stated, an appeal to the intellectual mind. It is an appeal to the heart of faith. Everything in your human nature will contradict this verse. When you go through life and feel defeated, when you have struggled yet again with one thing or another, whether it's an addiction. Oh, by the way, I heard somebody say to me this morning that he has a friend who, he says, that guy just deals with addiction. Hello, hello, mister. Don't you know you're addicted? Don't you know that the nature of human nature is addiction? Don't you know that human nature is committed to escape? Don't you know that the pain within our hearts, the pain within our lives, the pain of the fallen world, the pain of our own human inadequacies is so great that we endlessly try to escape from it? Wake up, dear friend. The truth is that every human being is in a state of flight from God. And that is what addiction is all about. It is flight from pain. You say, well, God is pain? Yes, in our perception of him, because we are filled with guilt and shame and fear, which is very, very painful. And therefore, we flee from the loving heart of our Heavenly Father. So do not dismiss this broadcast simply because I talk about addiction, because you're one of them. All right. Now then, you see, you will find this verse an affront to your human nature. Because your human nature has been endowed with a sense of right and wrong, a sense of good and evil, a sense of justice, and the putting of things right. And when you see yourself as on the wrong side of right, when you see yourself as having failed and not come up to the bar, when you see that everything in your life has been strewn with failures, when you see that your finances are shot or your relationships are a total disappointment and in disarray, when you see that your health is diminishing, when you see that you don't know where to get support or help from, you are going to conclude intellectually, there we go again with that intellect, that God has forsaken you, or that you're unworthy of his love, or he has just forgotten you, he's too busy in some other part of the universe. And it is then that faith takes a hold of this verse and wrestles with it. I am declared innocent, dear Father, not because I am innocent, but because Jesus is my innocence. And I affirm that before you, even though I have no deeds to commend myself with, apart from the deeds of the law, do you see? So I want you to understand, my friend, that this definitive statement is also a definitive statement against the intellect of your mind and against the intuitiveness of your emotions. A verse like this runs counter to everything we sense and know. That is why Paul's message about Jesus is so staggering once it is embraced by faith, because it is setting up a bulwark against all that I know. It is setting up a resistance to the flesh. Dare you? Dare you believe that you are declared innocent? What a Father in heaven we have that would call his broken down children innocent. What a heavenly Father we have that would tell us that we are his precious children without any guilt, when he knows full well that we're ridden with guilt. Do you see, my friend, that this verse, which purports to talk about who you are, justified, tells you much more about who God is, that he is so merciful and rich and abundant that he would bring his children into his embrace and treat them as if they had never sinned. Ah, my friend, this definitive verse, let it stop the arguments of your mind. Well, it won't do it permanently, but by faith you will, in this verse, have a fortress against the constant arrows of accusation from your own mind. When your mind says you're no good, you're stupid, you're an idiot, why should God love you? You can never do anything right. You stand up with this verse and you say, I conclude that I am declared innocent by faith in Christ, apart from all the deeds of the law. Now, my friend, you know, don't you, that these words that go out from me through the Word of God here are precious as gold. And I ask you to consider how precious they are, and therefore how important it is to make sure that this broadcast continues. Now, this broadcast has continued for 15 years, but it needs your support. And let me tell you that it continues because of your support. There are some people who think that KLT pays me for broadcasting. Wish it were true. The fact is, I pay KLT for broadcasting, because, you see, I rent airspace. That's how it works. And I rent airspace for, I've forgotten how much it is, I think it's $63 a 15-minute segment. Anyway, it's $800 a month. Now, that's only part of the ministry. I provide seminars for you each quarter, and a CD for you each month, and a website for you to get onto any part of the day so that you can listen to this broadcast. That's FaithQuestRadio, by the way, .com, FaithQuestRadio.com, and a Monday night meeting in the Englewood area. So, if you would consider it, please donate. Say to yourself, I am getting words that are as precious as gold from this man through the Word of God in Romans, and I, by golly, am going to support it. So send your check, would you, to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. That's P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. Thank you very much, my friend, and I look forward to hearing from you. Don't forget, I will send you my Cook's monthly message as a thank you. See you next time, then. Cheerio, and God bless.